Okie dokie, Aaron Campbell. How you doing?
Daniel D. Douglas, the third.
How'd you know I was the third?
You're the third. You're always the third.
Okay. cheating death. We're talking about cheating death.
Yeah, cheating death. Cheating the Grim Reaper.
You know a lot about cheating.
No, I know nothing about
dirty
cheating.
Cheater.
No, I am not a cheater. I think you're the cheater.
But cheating death, on the other hand.
That's not such a bad thing. Cheating death.
Cheating the Grim Reaper.
Yeah. I mean, if you cheat death, maybe you get a new lease on life.
Okay. What do you got?
What do I got?
What? You got some story about cheating death?
I've
heard that before.
Really?
You've never told me that story.
I've never cheated death. I've never cheated it. I mean, I've been in situations where I thought I might die, but does that qualify as cheating death?
I don't know. It's an interesting idea, cheating death. It's as if, you know, you owe it to die.
Oh.
That's what you're supposed to
do.
Okay,
no, I've never cheated death then.
Okay.
Yeah. I've been in some hairy situations.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Like what?
Well, I've been at sea a few times in big storms where I thought the boat might capsize, and you know, I was pretty scared about that. And I was once in a situation where some violence occurred, but I left before it happened. Cheated death.
With your tail tucked between
your
legs.
Tail tucked between my legs, quivering and shaking in fear. Something like that.
Smart man. Better safe than sorry.
Better safe than sorry. How about you? Have you ever cheated death?
Have I ever cheated death? Well, you know, I've almost drowned, but I've told you that story.
That's right. We've heard that
so
before.
Many times that I'm
not going
to tell
that. I think we've
heard
my cheated death stories before, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, actually, you know, I've almost drowned three times.
Oh, really?
And I haven't told you about the other two times.
I see. Okay.
But they both involve drinking and swimming in large bodies of water.
That's not a good combination.
At young ages, I wouldn't recommend it.
Yeah, as a youngster, I've done many risky things that I, you know, could have led to more serious consequences. So
yeah,
I consider myself lucky.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess a lot of young people do. Risky things,
right?
Without thinking about what the consequences
right.
are. But anyway, like one of the most intriguing aspects of the story this month that I thought was the first story about the mountain climbers,
right? Simpson and Yates.
Yeah, because you know you sometimes for entertainment or for just intellectual curiosity, we give ourselves these hypothetical situations. What would you do in this kind of situation?
And right.
this is an actual. You know, real situation that would otherwise be a hypothetical situation. What would you do
right.
if you were being dragged to your death because your friend were pulling you down, you know, the weight of your friend were pulling you to death? Would you cut the rope?
Or if you're just really hungry and you wanted to get up to the top to eat.
Well, that's a different question. I didn't really have that one in mind.
That's pretty much the same situation.
That's not exactly the same situation, Dan.
Oh, okay. How's it different?
Well, I mean, and you want to live. I mean, the other choice is death.
You got to eat.
It's
not
about food.
A man's got to eat.
No, it's not about food. But here's what I think is interesting about it.
Okay.
It's one thing to ask yourself the question, would you cut the rope and let your friend go in order to save your own life? And for some people, that's a difficult decision. But I think logically...
Oh, come on. Who is that a difficult decision
for? Well, people who love their friends. They don't want to let their friend go. It may be difficult to do. And maybe so difficult that the person postpones the decision until it's too late and they both fall to their deaths. But
I wouldn't have that problem.
Okay.
Don't
especially
worry.
If it were me, right? You would
don't
just
worry.
Let me go.
I would know what you wanted. You want me to get up to the top and get my grub on.
Okay. You want to get your grub on. I get it. But what if that were your... I was thinking about this a lot.
What if that was my hamster?
No.
Or your hamster?
No, not the hamster. I'm talking about someone who had their whole life in front of them.
Oh, yeah. Like
who depended
kid.
On you for their own life, like a child or a
right.
young teenager, and it was your daughter or your son.
Right.
Would you still as easily cut that rope? And I feel like I don't know how to answer that question. Would you be able to live with yourself if you knew that you cut the rope that led to your daughter's death? I would almost prefer death.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because who knows? Maybe you can hang on.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe a miracle will happen. Maybe something will change.
Well, you know, apparently what little I know of this story... Mm-hmm. apparently the Yates got a lot of, you know, he got a lot of flack.
Really?
For this. And that's the reason that Simpson wrote a book to kind of defend him.
I see.
To tell the story. That was what he claims was the main impetus for telling the story, the tale.
That's pretty cool of Simpson to do.
Yeah. But it's like, okay, why was he, I'm sure Yates told the story as it happened.
Yeah.
And, but yet he was still, you know, people were calling him out, or saying, I don't, maybe they were saying, oh, well, maybe he could have hung on.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, there is always that chance, though. I guess, you know, if you're slipping, you're slipping.
Yeah. But it reminds me of that website, where, they give you a test of what you would do in various situations if a driverless car were coming down the road, because they have to program in these type of decisions for driverless cars.
Right.
Because driverless cars may be in certain situations where the car needs to choose between killing the occupants of the car or killing people who are outside the car that are going to be hit.
Right.
And the option is you either hit those people who are walking across the street or you hit a large truck or a bus or a wall and kill the occupants inside. How do you choose? And they give you various situations of what to do and what not to do.
You mean how the computer should act in that situation to choose?
Yeah. Okay. But this is like their research onto what people think, how the computer should
make those decisions. Right. Well, yeah, people want the car to defend them at all costs, right?
But, in most cases, but it's also making decisions between if a fat person were walking across the road and an athlete were walking across the road, and you only could choose between one or the other, which one would you choose? And it forces you to make those type of decisions. Even though you may think, well, they're both equal in my mind, you still have to make a choice because that's the situation you're given. And the car has to make a choice between that. So it calls into question your values and it's quite interesting.
Uh-huh.
Have you seen this website before?
No.
We'll put a link in the PDF or on the website.
Right.
Yeah. It's really interesting.
So I mean, what is the car programmed to do?
Well, the car isn't programmed to do anything at this point. These are researchers trying to figure out how to program the car, and what they're doing is they're basically crowdsourcing people all over the world to make these kind of decisions so that they can get a better idea of what the best thing to do is when they program that computer based on people's responses to this quiz. Yeah. It's quite interesting. Anyway, this story reminded me of that.
And did you find anything interesting about yourself when you took these tests?
Not really. I mean, it did force me to make some decisions that I was quite uncomfortable with.
Yeah.
That didn't make any sense to me. I mean, in my eyes, there is no qualitative difference between, on the inside, in terms of human value, between an athlete and someone who's not in shape. So, I mean, to me, they're both equally valuable.
I mean, that just doesn't even seem like a question that a computer would be assessing. It's like a
they would. I mean, if they have the ability to sense what data is out there.
Well, maybe they could say, this person is more likely to take a hit and survive.
Possibly, and different. They do it with different ages, with different genders. They look at many different occupations, like the difference between a doctor and let's say a factory worker or something like that. So it forces you to make all these judgments, even though you, because in a split second, what would you do if you were the driver of that car? You'd have to make a split second decision, and you don't have time to think about it.
Well, I mean,
the computer will need to do the same thing.
I think people just, you know, hit the brake and hope for the best.
Perhaps. I don't know. Maybe that's the end result of this. I don't know.
Miracle Mike, you ever hear about
chicken.
Him?
No, I've never heard about him until I heard this story, no.
That poor chicken.
I know. What bothers me about the story is not so much that they were cutting chickens' heads off, because that's often how chickens are killed for food.
Yeah.
But the fact that they kept the chicken alive. I mean, what kind of life is it when you need to be force-fed through your neck and you have no eyes, no nose, no mouth? You can't really live a decent life.
It sounds horrible,
yeah.
But I mean, you know, who's anybody to say that this life isn't worth living because it looks horrible to us.
Yeah.
What do you call those? What do you call those legal contracts that you can fill out to say at what point you want to not be resuscitated, or what point you don't, if you're in a serious medical condition, mm-hmm. and your body is not able to carry on by itself.
Yeah.
And maybe you got something to fill your lungs with air, or to make your heart beat, or to feed you.
There is a name for those documents, but it's not coming to the tip of my tongue right now. But it is a legal document that it's like a living will or something like that. Is that what it is?
Living will. Is that what it is? Yeah. Okay. My mother wanted to fill one of those out with me, and we were filling it out. And I said, okay, what about if you are, and, you know, I was reading through this list. I said, what about if you're brain dead? She said, pull the plug. And I said, what about if you can't breathe on your own? Pull the plug.
Pull the plug.
And I said, what if your heart needs some? She said, pull the plug.
She just kept saying, pull the plug.
And then she started making up her own. She was like, if I can't walk really good, pull the plug. I was like, that's not an
option.
Can't
get out of bed in the morning, pull the plug. Yeah. There is no plug. You haven't even been on life support yet.
If I got some wrinkles under my eyes, pull the plug.
Pull that plug. So she's ready.
My mother's got really low tolerance for low quality life.
Right? Yeah.
Have you thought about whether you would want to be kept living if you were brain dead?
No, if I were brain dead, there'd be no point. I mean, I'm not that attached to, you know.
But you might not be. It might just look like you're brain dead.
Yeah, but even then, like, it's not a big deal to me. It's not. I just pulled the plug. It's not a big deal. I mean, I don't get me wrong. I enjoy life a lot.
Life's pretty good.
As it is now.
Life's pretty good, right. My friend.
Yes, it is.
Let's not forget that.
It is pretty good. But we're lucky to say that. It's not so good for everybody.
Yes.
And so I feel very fortunate. And if I were in a situation where I couldn't use my brain, I mean, would I even know that I exist? I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't matter to me at that point. Yeah, just pull the plug.
Yeah.
Life goes on. Yeah.
So, Miracle Mike, you know, he's either taking him from TV show to TV show and making him run. I mean, we got an expression to run around with your head.
Yeah, like run
chicken,
around like a chicken with
your
head cut off.
Cut
right?
off. Yeah. Right. So I guess that's a normal thing for a short amount of time.
Yeah, usually 20 seconds, maybe 30 seconds at most. Yeah.
But not 5 years or whatever crazy amount that was.
Yeah, that was too much. But yeah. How about this other guy, Dmitry, this millionaire Russian who wants to create the technology to transfer human consciousness to a computer or to some sort of digital existence?
Right. You know, he's a Russian guy. I don't know where he's based, if he's based in Russia or the U.S., but I know in California there's quite a few super rich dudes.
We've actually done a listening fluency on this guy before. We'll link to it so
okay.
you can get an idea
okay.
of it. But
it's been a while.
Yeah, it's been a while. I bet a lot of people haven't seen it.
Mm.
But it's fascinating, the idea that, again, this presents a hypothetical question. If you could extend your life indefinitely, would you do it? You know, of course you wouldn't have the same body you have now. You'd have digital bodies. You'd have different experiences. Would you keep on going? For me, I would like to try that. I think it would be, I just love learning, and it would be a chance to learn more and experience something different. Maybe I'd reach a point where I wouldn't want to live anymore. But I'm not ready to go. I love this life. I enjoy it. I would extend it if I could.
Life is good. I'm with you there.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think we've probably talked about this before. I don't know if that's gonna leave room for the youth. You got all these old people living forever.
Yeah.
You know, the earth can only support so many people.
No, but your body would die. Your consciousness would be transferred to a digital body that would exist online, or in a chip or whatever.
Right.
Your body would, just like all bodies, they pass away, they disintegrate, they go back to the earth and the air. But
without the physical vehicle,
yeah,
seems like you could be imprisoned by some
I wonder about that. I mean, what if it gave you unlimited possibilities to explore different, you know, existences and different situations?
Yeah.
And but then what?
Yeah.
You know, what's the end point? There is no end. Yeah. It's just eventually maybe it has no meaning. So maybe death is better.
Yeah, and that was the conclusion of, well, not the conclusion, but one of the aspects of Dougal Robertson, his family, that you know, they almost died, and he doesn't regret that experience at all. It's being in that, you know, being on the edge of life and death made him appreciate the moment that much more.
Mm-hmm.
Though it sounds a little bit crazy to say, he says, in my darkest moment, in my darkest hour, you know, there were 38 days on the ocean with 6 days worth of supplies, you know, drinking turtle's blood.
Uh-huh.
And he said, you know, not once did he regret. It's like, really?
Really?
Like seeing your kids like starving, getting sunburnt, and you're just enjoying the sunsets and the seagulls.
Maybe he was just so happy to be rescued by the former enemy that he realized that, and maybe in retrospect he felt that way.
That was a nice little twist that you know, he got.
Yeah, I like that.
He was
like
able
that.
To forgive his enemies.
His former enemies.
His former enemies, right.
Yeah. But I thought it was quite quite unique the way that their ship sank.
Yeah, hit by whales.
Can you imagine the fear
killer
that would
whales.
Cause?
Yeah.
How unexpected that would be.
I actually think we did another story about a ship going down being hit by whales.
Was it? Did we?
Yeah, we did.
But it wasn't killer whales.
Yeah, I don't know.
There's something kind
remember.
Of a bit scarier about killer whales.
Yeah. Who did they kill, killer whales?
Killer whales?
Yeah.
They love to eat seals.
Seals, okay.
Seals and sea lions. That's their, you know, favorite food.
Right.
Yeah, they love those.
Right.
And if you're a seal or a sea lion, beware.
But apparently not humans, but they
no,
took
they
out
don't
a
go
ship.
After humans. In fact, they might even help humans if humans are in the water. They might not eat them. They could even help them like dolphins do. They're related to dolphins in many ways.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just they're larger and a bit bigger.
Yeah.
Bigger teeth.
Well, they had something against that boat.
I guess so. They didn't like that boat.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they didn't attack the people. They took off.
No, that's true.
Yeah. Maybe the boat was intruding upon their home.
Yeah. So, yeah, the Robertson family. I don't really feel the appeal of being out on the ocean traveling on a small boat. Can you see yourself doing that?
I suppose I could see myself doing that, but I'm just not much of a water person. I get seasick. I wouldn't choose that method if I wanted to travel with my family. I would do something overland or perhaps on a river.
Yeah.
But I don't know if I would travel on open sea. That just doesn't appear. I've done it, and it's just not for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But I do think what's interesting about that story is a parent's decision to bring their children up. You know, take them out of a sort of a quote unquote normal life,
right?
Of going to school every day and maybe getting a part time job when you're a teenager, and just taking them and traveling around the world. That's pretty, you know, brave.
Yeah, it's an adventure.
Yeah, it's an adventure.
Not my idea of a good time.
but each his own, I suppose.
But they got a good story out of it.
Yeah.
Well, on that note, stay safe. Keep your eye out for the Grim Reaper.
Yes, and let's cheat death at any chance we have.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
All right. We'll see you next month.
See ya.